Welcome to the Veritas Equipping Podcast, a podcast designed to provide insight, resources, and biblical wisdom. Our mission as Veritas Church is raise up mature disciples, send out everyday missionaries, glorify God. Join us as we pursue Jesus to become mature disciples and effective disciple makers for God's glory.
Veritas, welcome to our Equipping Podcast. This is Jake, and I'm here with Matthew Morkin and Michael Rhodes.
What's up?
What's up? We're here.
You guys ready to do another one of these?
Yeah.
Love it. Sounds like fun.
Is this our first podcast post-holiday, Sam?
Yep.
Yeah? It's the first?
First one we recorded?
But this is the first one we're recording post-holidays.
Yep. Yeah.
Good times, guys?
Yeah. We obviously know what we're doing here.
Yeah. Sam knows what he's doing.
Yeah, correct.
Absolutely.
Everybody have a good holiday?
It was a good holiday. How was your holiday?
It was great. We played host. You know, we're kind of that stagey where the kid's coming back and.
You're a grandparent now.
Yes.
How was grandpa holiday?
I mean, he's young enough where he doesn't know what's going on. But still, it was cool. It was cool. He was to tell Michael before we started recording, like just this week he started crawling for the first time. So that's pretty exciting. Now parenting's going to get harder. He's on the move.
Boom.
Yeah. That is good.
Yeah.
Michael, how was your holiday?
Great. We're here until the 27th and then made the trek to Louisiana and hadn't been as a whole family in 2 years. So visited all of Erica's family. And
you guys drive straight through?
Drove straight through. 16 hours straight. Yeah.
Do you share the driving or is it?
Oh, yeah. I'm not too prideful. Erica can drive. Yeah. She's.
Some people are like, no, if I'm in the car, I want to drive.
But no, because I fall
asleep. You're that way, Sam?
I fall asleep.
You're that way, Matthew?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'll share.
I can't stay awake. So we would take, you know, 3 days to get there if I couldn't take a nap.
I can't sleep in the car, and that's what ruins it for me. I mean, occasionally.
No issues with that.
Yeah. Wow.
Went through bags of sunflower seeds to try to stay away.
Wow. Wow. Hot tamales. That's my go-to drive.
Oh, that's one of my favorite candies.
Oh, I love
hot
it.
Hot tamales.
It's great. Cinnamony.
At the movie
fresh,
too.
Healthy.
Ugh, love it.
Fresh and healthy. Organic.
Fresh and organic.
Yeah, only organic hot tamales. Only organic. All right, so speaking of health, we're gonna talk about having a healthy soul. This is a topic, it felt like in a lot of environments in our church, we've talked about this or we've emphasized the importance of having a healthy soul. So we're going to dive into it again, especially this time of year where we're encouraging people into their rhythms of life. And I'm going to say it again. I've said it a lot because we really believe it. We all want a healthy church that we just want to be a part of. And we believe that has more to do with the type of people we have than the programs we offer. Mm-hmm. And if we can get people who abide, and that's going to be the type of church we want to be a part of. So we make a big deal of that. Bible reading plans, resources in the bookstore, encouraging prayer, rhythms in your life that enhance and foster a close relationship with your Savior, that we want you to abide. Mm-hmm. Apart from Christ, we can do nothing. But in that abiding talk, he says he's telling us this so that our joy may be full, that his joy may be in us and that our joy may be full. So this is an important big deal. We're going to jump back into soul health. So as we do, let's just kind of go from the beginning. What is a soul?
A soul, I think, as it's interesting, like when you look at the Old Testament and the New Testament, the different words that are used for a soul, and oftentimes the English translators, when they brought the Hebrew word over, and I'm not going to even attempt the Hebrew word with you all, but like they translated the word to be soul, mind, or heart. And so seeing that the mind also plays a role in this as well. But you see kind of some differences there too. And then in the Greek, there is one term that often refers to the soul and mind as well, but it's a little bit more clearly and easily translated to that term. But the soul, I would say, is part of you that engages with God often.
Yeah. If I could just sum it up really quick, like the whole person that relates to and worships God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's kind of the essence of who you are. Mm-hmm. Like you're not, you're more than a body.
Yep.
Like we all know that, but sometimes we don't kind of put words to it or give it such religious language like the soul. But that's what it's referring to. This is kind of who you are. So where do we see soul talk in Scripture? Now, and there's a lot of it. So maybe just highlight a few points that.
I mean, I think I always go to, especially as a warning, in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, it says, the heart, this mind, the soul is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can understand it? It is the Lord that searches the heart and tests the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. Maybe not the first verse everyone goes to for that, but and also a calling in Colossians to set our minds on things that are above, set our souls on things that are above, on the thing that matters.
Yeah, I think, and you guys can correct me here, I think the first time it shows up is like Genesis 2, like where it says, then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature, which literally was like a living soul, mm-hmm. not just a living creature. Yeah. So when God breathes his life into man, into a living soul.
Yeah, which shows, again, we're not just a body. There was a body.
Correct.
And then life or soul got breathed into that. Yep.
Well, and that brings up an interesting point too, because that really separates us. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. It really separates us from all the rest of creation, that let us make this living soul, these living souls.
So why is it so important to understand this? Because a lot of people will be like, duh, I'm with you. I believe that. Why is it important that we emphasize this reality? Like, what implications does it have if it's like, okay, you're not just a body, therefore, like, what are we called to do with this information?
I always go back to the place of like, what if our role isn't father first? What if our role isn't parent first? What if our role isn't spouse first? What if our role, you know, let alone your job and your giftings and abilities, like, what if you exist to worship God? Mm-hmm. What if that is why he made the creation, to bring him glory? And at the crown of creation is this creation of this image bearer, this soul. And so seeing the soul as the most important part of your body, because it is the part that relates to the Lord and our avenue to him, or I don't know if avenue is the right word, but
no,
our way to God.
If we're going to acknowledge the soul exists, it does put a level of stewardship and caring for it. I think of Deuteronomy 4:9, Moses' words, where he's challenging them to keep your soul diligently, mm-hmm. Care for it. You need to give it a lot of attention, lest you forget. Mm-hmm. So there's this connection between kind of forgetting, and he's talking about what God has done for them, kind of going about life forgetting God, mm-hmm. is the opposite of keeping your soul.
Sure. And then, like, there's a – 1 Peter says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul. So, like, the outcome of your faith is what we want to obtain, and it's the salvation of our soul. So we need to – if, like, we want to get to the point where – we are obtaining the outcome of our faith, which is salvation, then we better prioritize our souls and figure out how to save our souls.
Yeah. And you keep going in 1 Peter, I think, chapter 2, where there's this call to abstain from kind of the desires or passions of the flesh. And then he says, which wage war against your soul. So there's a sense if we're made for God and to be in fellowship with God, and we engage in sin, which is offensive to God, that's harmful to our souls.
Yeah.
We don't always realize that sin you did that you didn't get caught in and nobody knows about, still, like, that does damage to our soul. Yeah.
For sure. I mean, I think, and this may go into, and you probably get there in a second, but just caring for our souls. The passage that comes to my mind the most is Matthew 16. Mm-hmm. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Yeah. Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? So there's just this denial of self in order to not forfeit your soul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even a contrast being made there of prosperity in this life, physical prosperity, like, you could have it all. It doesn't help your soul. You could lose your soul, mm-hmm. in that matter. So there's like, what are you caring for more? What are you investing in? And I think in Matthew as well, back in chapter 10, he's talking about don't fear the one who can kill the body. Fear the one who can kill the body and the soul. Mm-hmm. So there's like – that seems like we're in the here and now. We're in the material fleshly world, so it's most natural to get all the attention. And the kind of cry in scripture is like, this isn't all there is.
Yes.
Pay attention to your soul. Care for your soul. Keep your soul diligently. So how do we do that?
I think first off, like what you bring up is a really good point of like, this is not just a material world. It's not just a world about scheduling. It's not just a world about economics and finance. It's not just a world about helping your family survive. It is a spiritual world. That's why Paul says in Ephesians that there's a battle. There are forces and powers that are trying to destroy you, and Christ and the apostles are all guiding your soul, guiding your heart to follow Christ and give your life to Christ, and he is worthy of your praise. He is worthy of your life. Sacrifice it.
So why is it important to have a healthy soul, practically speaking? If we're advocating, you know, just like a physical trainer is like, hey, you need to get in shape. You need to shed some pounds. You need to get in the gym. Like, this is important. We're advocating for soul health. What practical difference? Because a trainer might be like, hey, if you're in better shape, you're going to live longer, or you're going to be able to play with your kids more. You're not going to get tired so quickly. You're going to have these benefits. What are the benefits of having a healthy soul?
Well, if this is the part of us that relates to and worships God, then if we want to have a healthy soul, it's going to like – it affects everything, because like if we are made to worship, then we want to take care of the thing that connects us and helps us to relate to God. And so when we take care of our souls, we're taking care of the thing that like we're made to do.
Yeah.
And like this will affect every aspect of your life, not just like how you feel or how you can walk or how you will live, but like this affects everything.
Yeah. And I think like following up on that too is when you look at like heart health, physical heart health or physical body health, I mean, that will help you for years. Soul health, like we are eternal beings. You will live for an eternity. Where will you live? And so that care for your soul and the constant probing of your soul or your heart is a constant testament to like following God or not.
First Timothy 4:8 about, you know, physical training is a value of, but godliness is a value of this life and the life next to come. Yep. So it does have value in this life. I love how you're pointing out, Michael, how it impacts everything. It brought to mind, you know, guard your heart, for from it are the wellsprings of life. So if you think, okay, your soul, a healthy soul, does impact all of life. Like it's the wellspring. So Matthew, we all deal with this quite a bit, but the underneath problem of why are you so short with your kids? Why were you so mean to your spouse? Why are you so deceptive at work? What, like, that's coming from an unhealthy soul. Mm-hmm. Like there's some, a healthy soul will find its way into every part of your life and kindness and patience and rest and contentment. And an unhealthy soul will find its way into all of your life.
And what you just referenced there, like patience and humility and rest, like a lot of that is the fruit of the Spirit, which resides, we would say, in your soul, right? Your heart, your mind, like the absolute center of who you are as a human is where the Spirit controls. And so why are you impatient? You know, and that immediately then goes to a spiritual issue or a heart issue, or where is the Holy Spirit? Is it bearing fruit? And then what comes out of you is what comes from within you.
So and Matthew, you deal in a lot of biblical counseling situations. Do you find kind of the growing talk or even epidemic in our society of mental health problems? Would you say that behind that is an unhealthy soul?
Yes, I would say at the heart of it, like to study why I am the way I am, why I'm responding the way I'm responding, like what role does your soul have to that? And oftentimes it is, found there most of the time, if not always, found there. There's something is off about your belief in God or how or whether you believe in him or whether you're doubting him. That is generally the spiral of many difficulties and rotten fruit that we produce.
Because if we go back to this worship thing, if we're made to worship and we start caring about, if we start worshiping other things, then we're missing out on what we're made for and what we're created for. So if we're not taking care of our souls, that means we're worshiping something else in life.
Yeah.
So it's all a worship problem again. Yeah. We've talked about this many times.
Practically, there is a God. Your body knows it as a created being. The heavens are declaring the glory of God. The creation is saying there's a creator. And you're trying to beat the square peg into the round hole. It doesn't fit. And so you're going to lean into godliness, or you're going to spend your life running from it. And there's a soul created in you that desires to know its creator. Mm-hmm. And God has made a way for it to know its creator amidst sin. And we're like, yeah, no, I'm good. I'm going to go this way. I'm going to do it myself. I can do this on my own strength. And the number of damaging things that flow out of our minds and souls, our hearts, from that doubt or rejecting God, or even in areas where we're struggling with who God is, creates pain and wreaks havoc and everything, turmoil within us.
So what hurts the soul? How does somebody do damage, maybe even unintentionally, to their soul?
I'm going to keep going back probably over and over to this Matthew 16 passage. Like, whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. But before that, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. So like, what's going to hurt your soul is like gaining the world and pleasing yourself forever. So like, if you're just living life for you, you are damaging your soul because you're not living to please the one who's given you this soul that's meant to worship. And so following the ways of this world, not denying yourself, all that kind of stuff.
You add anything to that, Matthew, in ways that people damage their soul?
I think the calling in Scripture to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, that is where we get off. So that's obviously a positive calling to love the Lord, but where we don't love our Creator, recognize our Creator, submit to our Creator in all those things.
Yeah. I think of that passage in 1 Peter about abstaining from the passions of which wage war against your soul. Just kind of understanding sin attacks your soul. Like it's a cancer that kind of eats at our soul or brings unhealth to our soul. So engaging in unrepentant, ongoing sin has effects on our soul. And then in Moses' words in Deuteronomy 4 of be diligent to keep your soul, lest you forget, having a mind that is absent of God is not good for your soul. Like, we were made by God, for God. Our soul knows it. Many of the Psalms are like, my soul pants for you, my soul hungers for you. You know, like, we're wired up for a longing for God. So if you're not feeding your mind with thoughts of God, truths of God, you're going to get a malnourished soul.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people go weeks, even as we talked about the rhythm of worship this last week, they go weeks without feeding their soul. Like, that's why we plead for Bible reading. That's why we plead for people to be in prayer and communicating with their creator, their manufacturer, about why am I like this? Why do I struggle with these nerves or these anxieties? Like, Lord, help me, like, and calling out to him. Because again, I always go back to, like, you're not first a mom. You're not first a husband. You're not first a brother, a son, a cousin, all the things. You're not first an employee. You're first a created being, a worshiper of God. And we run away from that first calling. Before we're busy, before all these things, there's you and there's God. And we don't spend any time devoting that. So if you think about it as food in this, January culture of like, I'm going to diet, which many of us should. Let's not talk about that though.
But anyways, tamales.
Organic.
Organic.
Clean, pure cinnamon. But like,
it's from the earth.
But we don't go to that, and we starve our soul for weeks, and we think nothing of it.
Yeah.
We think nothing of it until weeks and months and years go by, and you're like, who am I now?
And we often misdiagnose the problem.
Oh, totally.
It's like, well, my problem's this. I'm just lonely. Or my problem is I need, a different career path or community. And those may be outlying aspects of it, but the problem is a malnourished soul often. Yeah.
Why do I feel like my life is shriveled up and dying?
Yeah.
Oh, because you haven't taken care of your soul.
Yeah.
Not because you haven't worked out more. Like, no, and I think that has some value, right?
It was Psalm 42 of that, you know, the as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you. It makes like, you know, a Christian coffee mug verse because there's a deer and deers are cute in nature. We love that. But it's literally talking about, you know, starving of my soul starving for you. It's panting for you. It's in need of you. We miss that.
And I think we need to ask the question, especially culturally, and hear me out here, right, is if my soul is starving and we're wondering why am I so paralyzed by anxiety or depression or some of these things that are in our face, I think we have to ask the question of how healthy is my soul? Am I running to my creator, my manufacturer for help and for resources and to be rebuilt? Or am I being told a different response, a different answer to some of those things?
Yeah, because if I'm hungry, I can go home and have a handful of hot tamales.
Yes.
And that will momentarily scratch that hunger itch, you know. But I keep doing that. That's not healthy.
Yeah.
There's consequences for that. The same thing. We have a hunger in our soul. It's panting for God. And I go, instead of going to God, I go to Netflix. I go you know, to the gym, I go whatever, and I just constantly taking that in. It kind of for momentarily scratches that itch.
Absolutely.
But then over time, it's like, oh, my soul is so malnourished and out of shape. It's not fed on God, who it's made for, but fed on the world, which has deceived it, and now we're in a problem.
Yeah. And that's what I think too. Like, I think of a lot of moms out there who are trying to feed their souls with mothering, a great thing. But that is not the source of hope and peace for your soul. Your maker is your hope and peace. Or the couple that's trying to, like, this, you are the answer to all my dreams, you know, and wanting to put all that pressure and weight on that new spouse. And that also is not the answer to that complexity. Or in a negative sense, you have the people who go to the alcohol or drugs to numb the pain. But we also have people on good medication that go there to numb the pain. And that is not the hope for your soul as well.
So on a positive side, how do we care for our soul? What are some practical things? Because I don't want people to hear like lofty language of soul, and that's kind of mystical, so I don't know quite how to care for it. If we had to kind of get practical and say, all right, this is the way you care for your soul, what would be some helpful things for people to do?
This one may seem a little odd, but I mean, scripture's pretty clear, like obey your leaders for they're keeping watch over your souls. So pay attention to your leaders. What are your leaders telling you? Godly leaders in your life, what are they asking of you? What are they speaking into? Yeah. Because they're the ones keeping watch over your soul. So if, like, and that's what we as pastors and elders are going to be held accountable to do. Like, man.
Held accountable under the word of God.
Yes.
So if your leaders are asking you to do stuff that's not contrary or that's contrary to the word of God, that's a problem.
Correct.
But, yeah.
And so if you want to have a healthy soul, pay attention to the ones that are taking or keeping watch over your souls. I think it's just a really practical thing.
Yeah. And in that, if just kind of a little bit of a rabbit trail, if you're being directed by a leader, and I'm just, this is to our church people, so we're putting ourselves out there. Ask your leader, where are we getting that in scripture? And when we're able to go there and point that, then we bring our lives under it. But we're Bible people led by the Bible. We want to continue to practice that.
Yeah.
Any other practical things?
I think, like, again, we're Bible people and we want to be led and guided by that. God wrote us a word with his instruction. I think of Psalms 1, which doesn't necessarily use the word soul, but blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they're like the chaff which the wind drives away. And so you see this kind of hunger language, and the hunger is sufficed in the word of God, or for the Older Testament, it's the law of God, right? But it's going to that word, going to that letter that God wrote to us to share with us about who he is and what he has done seeing a source of hope and joy in that.
So I'd say being a cooperative relationship with your leaders who lead you spiritually, be actively involved in the Word of God, meditate on His truth. Sure.
Which reminds me of Matthew 11, take my yoke, or come to me all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Yeah. Like, come to Him. And that's, I mean, that goes back to, we talk about Bible reading all the time, but it's not just like going and reading your Bible, like go and encounter God.
Yes.
Amen. And run to Him and find rest for your soul when you run to Him. Like, I don't want to just be people that go, we read our Bibles this year and it didn't transform anything, but go to Him and allow the Word to like transform your soul.
Yeah. And one of the beautiful things of that text in our soul is taking a yoke upon Jesus is you're then doing the work of ministry with Jesus and you find rest in your soul in that. Or to put it negatively, if you're not about the work of ministry, which Jesus is about, don't expect a restful soul.
Yeah.
So there is an aspect of, I would add, mission. Live your life on mission for a healthy soul and that find rest from Christ in that. The other one from that passage in Peter is repent of your sins. They're going to do damage. They're going to wage war against your soul. Be an active confessor and repenter of your sins. So we got four here. We didn't plan this, but I'm just trying to give some practical steps for people.
I think
cooperative relation. We got one more.
You do.
No, I'm
okay. I was going to Romans 12, 1 and 2, like appeal to your brothers, make the sacrifice.
Yeah.
This is sacrificial. Appeal to your brothers by the mercies of God to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind or soul, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect, but renewing your mind through the sacrifice, which ties in, I guess, to what you said.
So cooperative relationships with your spiritual leaders, active time in God's word.
Commitment to ministry.
Commitment to life and ministry.
Sure.
Repenting and confessing of sin. That's like a regiment for soul care right there.
Yeah.
We could go on and add the importance of community. We've been placed in a body for our own care, but getting started in this new year, we just would love everybody to have just a high priority to have a healthy soul. So along with this little talk, is there any other resources that you would say, hey, this could be helpful as well?
I mean, a couple of years ago, we did a whole podcast series on soul health. So there's a 4-part series. So if you go back on website or
like 2 years
on
app
or something. Yeah, I think so. There's a 4 of these conversations about soul health. I'm sure you'll hear a whole lot about it, a whole lot of the same things, but there's just a lot more information. So if you want to hear from like, oh, this is what Veritas has already talked about, would be helpful.
Yeah, you can page back to the year 2022 for that stack of podcasts. Check them out.
So we talked about it then. We talk about it now because it's important. What's some leaving our people with some vision around this?
I'm a pastor. You're going to hear this from me, and it is the most essential thing to hear. To the benefit of setting your mind on things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, to really rest in that truth. It's not just something to only memorize or to have banging around your mind. Nobody's going to test you on it. That stuff doesn't matter, but like, what does it look like to set your mind on things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God? And to like, really, what does it mean that He's in control? Like, what does it mean that He's walked you into this trial to build your steadfastness? He is up there. And I think at the heart of soul care is the right positioning of where God is and what He's capable of and His character and who I am. And I need Him.
Yeah. And to go along with that, I would just say to our people, the world is really attractive and will shrivel your soul. Mm. Like, so pay attention to the things that will like enhance your soul, grow your love for the Lord, grow your worship, but know that there are plenty of things in this life that are wanting to compete with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And don't be, don't be unaware that the world is trying to go the opposite way and not take care of your soul. They're trying to take care of everything else that they think you need or they want you to think you need. Yeah. But it will shrivel your soul. Yeah.
They got a lot of hot tamales to offer you. But that's not what your soul's really craving for.
The fact
for.
That we've talked about hot tamales this much.
This, we should change the title of this instead of soul health. Sam pulled up the sugar, corn syrup, modified food starch, all the
artificial flavors.
Dextrin. Good stuff. All the good stuff.
Doesn't have red number three, so we're good.
But there's those things that it's like, it's offering that and we're hungry. It's just not what your soul's really hungry for. It'll deceive it. So, church family, we know that a healthy church has more to do with the people we have than the programs we offer. So would we be people who are diligent in keeping our souls, that we would be close to God and experience a community of people that are close to God? Love you guys. Hope this is helpful.